Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hey there, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast, the place. This platform is dedicated to you. This is it. Right here, we celebrate industry heroes. You know why? You know why we celebrate industry heroes? Because all of you are bold, you are brave, you dare greatly, you innovate, you solve problems, you're changing the lives, and you're changing the world as we speak right now on this day. How can we not celebrate you? Now, this is a special podcast. And why I say it's special, because I'm going to geek out on you all things utility. I'm speaking, he's in the hot seat. I'm speaking with a gentleman by the name of Prith Pal. That's P-R-I-T-H-P-A-L. And if I mess up his last name, he understands, but I'm going to give it a shot here. Kajura. And he is with just a teeny little company called Intel. And you know what we're going to be talking about? Utility 2.0. Let's get cracking. Yeah, Utility 2.0. We've got Industry 4.0, Utility 2.0, and we've got Industrial Talk 2.0, which is a redesign of the Industrial Talk platform to better serve the industrial heroes. Stay tuned for that one. Now, what we've got is we're going to be talking about this Industry 2.0, and what's interesting about the conversation with Prith Pal is the fact that utilities are going to have to go forward. Now, he's going to be talking, not me. You know, I'm constantly preaching the necessity to educate, collaborate, and innovate. I'm always. Without any prodding from me, Prith Pal says, we've got to, from a utility perspective, we got to educate, we got to come together and collaborate, and boy, do we need to innovate. And talk about bottom line value with the innovation that exists out there in utilities. Oh, man. And you're saying to yourself, Scott, I'm already excited. Hold your horses. What we have now. I want to get your paper and pencil out, because this is all about the education. This is all about the collaboration. This is all about the innovation that is taking place within Utility 2.0. And it is a webinar. And you're going to say to yourself, Scott, I don't want a webinar. Nah, this is cool stuff. Of course, it's free, and it's live, and it's called Grid Modernization, Using Advanced Protection and Control with AI. So, you know, they're rolling in that whole Industry 4.0. Prith Pal, team out there, boom, very, very cool stuff. The date, and it's right around the corner, the date is March 16th, and that is 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and that is 11 a.m. Pacific Time. That's Tuesday, March 16th. And what I'm going to have out there on the Industrial Talk, the link is pretty doggone long. You know, it is, the URL. But it doesn't matter. Fear not. It's out there. T&D World is the sponsor of this. But you're gonna hear Prith Pal, and you're going to hear a gentleman by the name of Anthony Siverind. And I'm going to say S-I-V-E-S-I-N-D. And he's with the Salt River Project. Mad street cred, major league. All right, let's go out to Prith Pal's stat card, because we can. Okay, Prith Pal's stat card. He is with Intel, as we talk about it. He is the global technology enablement leader, and he does a lot. Him and his team at Intel doing a lot. They want to be able to, in the utility space, the Utility 2.0, be able to collaborate. Yes. Be able to educate, absolutely. And biggest and most important component, boom, innovate. There's a lot of opportunities out there to be better. There's a lot of opportunities to be able to provide more reliable power. It's a fertile ground. And you know who's leading the way? That's right, Intel. Team Intel. All right, let's get going. Enjoy this interview with Prith Pal Kajura. Great guy, by the way. So enjoy. All right, Prith Pal, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. I want to tell you, listeners, this conversation is going to be a barn burner, because I'm passionate about utilities. And Prithpal and his wonderful team at Intel, they're going to bring the lumber. How you doing, Prithpal?
Fantastic. Thank you, Scott.
I love it, man. And listeners, I just want to let you know, because of my background, utilities and all that stuff, I geek out on what we're going to be talking about. But before we get into that topic, and the topic, I'm going to lay it out, utility 2.0, and you're just going to say yourself, Scott, I want to know what that is. We got to figure out who Prithpal is. Give us a little background, my friend.
So thank you, Scott. Prithpal Khajuria. I'm a global segment lead for power sector Intel. In this role, we partner with utilities to collaborate and innovate together. And I have been working in the power sector for 10 plus years, helping the utilities to transform, build their grid modernization strategies, and also helping the ecosystem to build the products to meet the utility requirements.
Now, let me ask you this, and I have you seen, because I've been out of the utility business for a number of years, and have you seen in that 10 years of helping utilities, sort of dragging them along, have you seen them start to change and start to begin to think about some of the things that need to take place for this digital journey?
Yes, Scott, I think things are changing. I give an example like a snowball. So renewables are creating that snowball at the edge of the grid. And this snowball is getting bigger and bigger and bigger every day. And utilities have realized that they need to get in front of it. Otherwise, it is just going to swamp them or swallow them. So I think that is forcing a lot of utilities to start thinking and be preparing for the future.
But here's the deal. They're utilities. You're not going to sit there and boot them out. It's like, they have their territories, but you're finding that they're saying, hey, this snowball, we need to modernize. We need to innovate. We need to truly collaborate. We can't just be islands anymore.
You're right. I think you see around the world what's happening with the utility sector, you know, happened with California last summer, what happened in Texas. So that we are seeing in front of us, this is happening, and we have to prepare. I think one of the biggest things is, which utilities have realized is, as renewables penetrate more and more at the edge of the grid, electrification of our transportation sector happens, okay? On one end, it is going to create more demand for electricity, but on the other hand, it is going to create more instability in the grid because renewables are going to go up and down. It's a seesaw, okay? One time there are too much renewables, next minute they disappear. Okay, how are you going to manage the grid?
I'll tell you one thing. I remember, I went to the, at the time when I was in the utility, we would go to the system operator, right? System operator. Mm-hmm. And that system operator would be at a computer terminal and watch the demand go up and then be able to bring in the generation to meet the demand and balance that out. What you have brought up is just an absolute system operational nightmare. And that it can only be solved through what you guys are doing. Because I don't know how you match the supply and demand when things are popping up and off. And like you've got solar, like it's up. Hey, we're having it all over there.
Exactly, Scott. So let's look at a operational perspective for utility.
Yeah.
They have a contracts for X amount of generation capacity. Okay. And then there is a Y amount of consumption. But that is always, there is a difference between the two. The life goes on. But with renewables injected at the edge of the grid, no, you have another variability. So if people are generating their own energy, they are not taking energy from the utility, all the generation capacity you have, you're wasting money.
And okay? You can't just store it, right?
So exactly. So what are you going to do it? So know as a utility, you need to figure out a way to basically how to balance it. Yeah. And I think what one big regulatory change I think is going to come in coming years with their utilities will be benchmarked against how they maximize the utilization of renewables. Okay. Because currently, like, utilities have a regulation, SAIDI and CAIDI, you know, that's why they're regulated, you know, benchmark for their reliability of the service and stuff. But if think about if another thing got injected there, that, hey, how you are maximizing the utilization of renewables. Now, all of a sudden, how do you control your substations? How do you control your feeders? What is the profile of those feeders? Mr. Utility, you need to know it. Without that, you cannot claim it.
I'm telling you, oh, there's so many questions. For me, I'm going to try to hone this conversation in, because you're touching on all of these points that I never even thought of, but you're absolutely spot on. The one of the things that I want to make sure that you define for the listeners out there, when we start talking, or you mentioned it a couple of times, edge of grid. What is that? Just tell us a little bit about that, and then we're going to get into what utilities need to do.
Yeah, so there are two pieces to it. One is the edge of the grid is behind the meter. Okay, a home or a business which is at the edge of the grid as a consumer, but they are becoming prosumer also. They are consuming electricity and they are generating electricity. Like today, as we are recording this session, since it's a sunny day in California, my house is generating more energy than I consume. Where is that energy going back? It's going back to the grid. Okay. Know what's happening? Grid is becoming bidirectional. Before, I used to consume energy from it, and now I am sending back to the energy. So I become one edge. Then we jump into the substation level, because every consumer is connected on the feeder. That electrons are flowing in that whole feeder. We have a substation. Now, what substation has to do in future to monitor and get inside that how this feeder is behaving, how much is renewable coming in, how the load is the constant seesaw. Basically, one time we have too much renewable, it is flowing back to the grid. And the next time the renewables drop by 50%, all the load shifts back to the grid and grid has to provide the power. Okay. How do you manage all that stuff?
You got it. This is a huge challenge that for me personally can only come through a real meaningful, collaborative, innovative solution. So let's talk a little bit about Intel. Let's talk a little bit about what you're doing. So you come to a utility company, and these are realities that are happening on the ground right now. What do we need to do? Where do we even start? We're just sort of this old legacy lumbering utility. What do we need to do?
I think let's start from the discussion from the substation point of view.
Got it.
What is there in the substation? We have all the electrical asset, and then we have a lot of automation and control devices there. In utilities terminology, we call them IEDs, intelligent electronic devices. These devices are sitting there. They are doing their own stuff. Okay. And they come from multiple vendors with multiple tools. Utilities put them there, and then they maintain them through the life of the cycle. So what it is a siloed system. Protection and control is doing its job, and automation is doing its job. So I give an example to people. Think about this way. In the data center world, everybody was selling their own application on their own hardware. I don't think internet would have reached to the point where it is today. So I think we got to learn from that what happened there in the world of data centers, in the world of internet, which is standardization of hardware and standardization towards the tools. Okay, that's what happened. You know, I can buy the standard hardware and build my data center, and I can buy and then use the standard tools to configure and provision things. So utilities have to think the same way, that how they can leverage the data-centric technologies which are have matured over the years, and we start building what we call it a micro data center in the substations.
I can't write fast enough here. I'm scribbling as fast as I can because you are hitting so many points. I mean, can utilities, can they have like an incremental approach? Because let's say I'm a utility. I've got substations everywhere. I've got generation. I've got substation. I've got it all over the place. And for me to wrap my arms around a big bang type of approach to standardize the hardware, then into the program, is it a way of, can we standardize in an incremental way?
Oh, definitely. I think the biggest challenge utilities are going to face in future is the distribution grid. That's where the challenges are at distribution substations. Okay? Yeah. So we can do it incremental way. So that's an inter, we have kind of divided into two segments. One segment, we call it a basically digitalization of automation or a micro data center for substation automation. So what we do is that we take all your IT applications, OT applications, and start running on a cluster of servers in this virtualized world. So you standardize that piece easy, okay? We can do it today. Mm-hmm. So all that basically gets standardized using a IEC 61850-3 class 2 certified server hardware, because that's must have for substations, okay? Yeah. Then you put all the virtualization software on it. And then after that, you start putting each applications. No life is so good. Like if I got a new version of a application, I just create a virtual machine, install the new application in it, run it for 3-6 months, collect all the logs and data, analyze it. It is doing the way it should be. Then turn it on. There is no need to roll a truck. There's no need to send a couple of people there and spending a couple of days there working on it. And, you know, substation is not a fun place to be. It's in a hazard environment. You blink your eyes, you can be in a big trouble. Okay? We take that risk out of it. And I think it increased the safety and reliability for the utilities. So that's the one piece. That's the one piece we have been working on it. But then we can jump on the other side of the story, which is protection and control, which is a very critical function in the substation.
Yep. You're killing me, man. I'm trying to keep up with all of your great points, and I'm writing it down, and I've realized I'm going, oh my gosh, I got to write that down too. Because what is the benefit? Why? From a utilities perspective, you're saying stuff, man. You're sort of swimming up that river. You're talking heresy here and there, because I've got a tremendous amount of legacy thinking, and this is the way we've always done it, and we're going to do it. What's the benefit for me as a utility?
So let's think this way. What is the benefit for the utilities? First thing, that standardized hardware always costs less money. You standardize the hardware, build a flexible infrastructure where you can add the security monitoring capabilities, because security threats constantly evolve and you need a system which can evolve accordingly. So what it will do is that it will reduce your capital cost, because you're not buying these 10 different boxes, you know, and then it will reduce your operational cost also, because you don't have to roll the trucks. So that creates a win-win situation.
So we're talking about a reduction in the whole capital, right? Capital costs as well as ops costs, because is it because I can see things Like, can I see the data and I can.
Exactly. So exactly, Scott, what happens next is that once we got all these applications consolidated in this infrastructure, now I can normalize and aggregate all the data at a single place. And then the next step is unleash the power of analytics, artificial intelligence, start extracting the valuable insight out of the data. So once we have an insight, now we can take decisions faster too, and which leads to increase our reliability. So that's the benefit of the technology. By standardizing it, your software innovation can run at a much faster pace than the hardware, because the old approach was somebody will build a box, they will take 2 to 3 years to build that box, then utility will take another 2 years to test that box. It is a 5 years, and then nobody wants to touch it for 10 years. We are not in that world. The things are changing way faster around us. Wow. Who believed 5 to 10 years ago that renewable will catch up at so fast? Who believed that electric vehicles will be the talk of the day? No, everybody believes that in next decade, where all our infrastructure is going to get electrified. Okay.
See, it's interesting because you bring up a couple of great points. First off, one, there's gold. And what you're trying to create within the utility environment, the access to that gold, that data, to be able to make better decisions. It can be approached from an incremental point of view, which is great. I don't have to look at this. I can look at this and be able to get to that gold through that approach that you mentioned. That's one, two. You're absolutely correct. There's going to be that electrification. It's going to be greater demand. There's greater things happening within this world. And in fact, I was having a conversation with somebody specifically about unmanned vehicles. And the reason there's going to be unmanned vehicles is because we just don't have enough people to deal with that logistics component, right? And so that is an electrification of that logistics. And you cannot manage the demand and the load and all of the stuff without doing without being innovative. You just can't.
Exactly, Scott. So I can see human resource is very valuable. Okay, and what is going to this future innovation will drive that human resource to do things which are higher value, and then a lot of things will get automized. Okay, and one of thing is basically autonomous mobility.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Exactly. So what Intel thinks is that utilities and Intel need to collaborate and innovate together to address the challenges of the future.
I want to make sure you listeners just that is a absolutely brilliant yet simple statement. The utilities have to collaborate and innovate together. You can't, and I think that just in this world of COVID, this is just my two cents. I think it's requiring more people to collaborate because we need answers. And me, singular guy, doesn't have all the answers. I might have a little sliver, but not the answer. And I want you to listen to understand, again, we need to collaborate. We need to innovate. But it also comes down to educate, right?
Exactly. So they go together. We start with education and awareness, and then we jump into collaboration and innovation. Okay? And that is how we solve the problems of the future. And one of the area which we are very focused is protection and control.
Well, let's touch on that real quick. Yeah.
Yeah, because protection and control is a very critical function in the utilities grid operations. Okay. In what we are seeing there is that they have these devices from multiple vendors sitting there in substations and not using the gold, the data, the gold which is there, it's not usable. So what Intel has done working with the utilities to combining this into a system where standardized hardware, then all the, what we call it, infrastructure software runs on the top of the standard hardware. Okay? It is a distributed hardware. Okay? And then application reside on the top of it in a distributed fashion. Because currently what happens, if one device fails, they have to go send somebody to replace it. But if we create this flexible infrastructure, and if one server fails out of five servers, life continues. You don't have to send anybody in the middle of the night. Scott, you've been a lineman in your life.
Yeah, I remember getting called. It's like, yeah, that line's out.
Exactly. So no, you know, your one server failed, no issues. The system has a built-in redundancy and reliability. It will keep running. In the morning, you go and pull that server out, push a new server in, and walk away. You don't have to configure, provision, do anything. So that is kind of the beauty is going to bring it to the utilities. And now the game will change, you know. In our work with some of the utilities, we found out that it will reduce number of devices by 50%. Okay.
Jeez. Devices by 50%?
Yes. The compute devices.
That's outrageous. I'm just telling you, that's an outrageous number. It is. It's an outrageous number. That's huge. 50%.
Exactly. And I think that goes back to what we said, the collaboration and innovation. If Intel and the utilities work together, we collaborate and we innovate, and then everybody gets benefit of it.
Yeah. And how can you sit there, listeners, how can you sit there and just knock holes into that? That's win-win-win all around. Everybody wins. And I would imagine me as a consumer, right? I win just because I'm working with, or I'm in a utility that is innovative, that's collaborating, that's edging. They're doing everything they can to deliver product, which is the power.
Exactly, Scott.
I love it.
You get a better system, which is more reliable, costs you less money, and costs you less to maintain it. I mean, what else we need?
God. All right.
So I think that is the Scott, our focus at Intel to drive the innovation into the utility sector and transform it.
I'm speechless. This is such a great conversation. I love this conversation. I hate to call it. I'm looking at my handy dandy little quick. Yeah, we got to wrap it up, my friend. Now, let me ask you this. We've got a webinar. It's coming up, and I'm looking at the landing page here. Are you speaking at this webinar, which is calendar. Everybody get their calendar out. March 16th, Tuesday. It is at 2 p.m. Eastern time. And okay, you can do the math. That is 11 a.m. Pacific time. Are you going to be speaking at this grid modernization using advanced protection and control with AI?
Yes, sir. That is what we're going to be presenting there. And I have a co-presenter with me, Mr. Anthony from Salt River Project, which is a utility we are working closely with. Okay, so it will be a giant presentation. What Intel is doing in this area, and then you can hear from the utility side that how the utilities are seeing it is the beneficial to them. Okay, so this is what we are talking about: collaboration and innovation.
I'm telling you, I'm all tickly about this whole thing. I love it. I love what you guys are trying to do. I love the fact that you're trying to bring awareness to an industry that needs to collaborate, that needs of more innovation, and you got great companies like Intel that's doing it. I'm looking at the landing page, and it's great. Okay, Listeners, I'm going to have this, I'm going to have the URL of this particular event. I'm going to get out there, get involved, write down. It's all easy peasy. God, got it. You are hot. Prithpal, thank you. You are awesome.
Thank you, Scott.
I'm speechless. And by the way, listeners, this is called Utility 2.0. Yeah. Yeah, that's their term. Utility 2.0. No more with 1.0. This is Utility 2.0 conversation. Prithpal, thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk podcast. Absolute honor. You brought the lumber. Love it.
Thank you for hosting me.
Nah, you were great. All right, listeners, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. We're going to talk a little bit about that webinar that we've already mentioned. Links, contacts with Prithpal. You're active out on LinkedIn because your stat card is pretty cool on LinkedIn. You're out there. All right, reach out to him. I'm going to have his link there too as well. Everything that you need to get a hold of. Don't come to me and say I can't get a hold of him because you're lying. All right. Stay tuned. We're going to wrap it up on the other side. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right. Didn't I tell you I was going to geek out on that stuff? That is just incredible, incredible innovation that is being brought to you by those wonderful people at Intel. Prithpal brought the lumber. Now, everything you're going to get out there on Industrial Talk, on his podcast, of course, his stat card on LinkedIn. You can reach out to him there. Easy peasy. No big issue there. Now, you're going to have to get your calendar out again. Calendar out. This is a webinar. This is grid modernization using advanced protection and control with AI. A lot of opportunities out there with this Utility 2.0. And I love what is happening at Intel. And love the conversation with Prithpal. You got to reach out. You just do that for me, okay? Because he's a great guy. All right. One last thing. Industrial Talk 2.0. We're going to be doing something that is really special with the website. We're going through it right now. And it's ability to be able to find those professionals, those industry heroes easier, and reach out to them. All right. Be bold. Be brave. Dare greatly. Change the world. That's what you guys are doing. Reach out to Prithpal. Thank you very much for joining. We will be back with another great interview.